If you would kindly stay standing, but go back to your seats, stay standing. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Stay standing for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 21, but before I go there, Luke 21, typically what we'll do in this time of year is we will start to preach sermons about the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. And Pastor Olga is planning on doing so next Sunday. However, it occurred to me, I might not get a chance to preach about any post-resurrection appearances of Jesus because he might appear at any moment and just take me back to be with him. So I'm praying today that you didn't come because you were scared only or because you're starving, scared or starving. I pray because something in your spirit is aware of the time we're living in. And you just want to be in God's presence. Whether it's peace. Can someone declare with me and just, I know there's peace in God's presence. I know it. I know it. There's no place like his presence. Amen. Okay. So Luke chapter 21. And I just want to remind you real quick, for thousands of years, now 2,000 years exactly, people have been declaring Jesus will come back. How many times have they been right, Kristen? Bam. That's right. There's a big fat zero on their win-loss record. They're wrong every time. So I'm not making any predictions about tomorrow, okay? What I'm simply doing is giving you the word of God for today, all right? Luke chapter 21, verse 25 says this. There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the surging of the waves. People will faint from fear and anxiety over what is coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. All right. Whoa, crazy things happening here, Pastor, but don't stop reading. Someone say, don't stop reading. Verse 28. When these things begin to happen, stand up. Look up, lift up your head, because your salvation, your redemption is drawing near. Woo! With a quick show of hands, have you ever prayed, Lord, give me a sign? Lord, give me a sign. Tiana, give him that video. Has God ever responded like this? Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, give me a sign. What do you think he brings you to church every Sunday for? To give you a sign that he's with you, he's for you. And if you'll listen, you'll see his work in your life. Amen. Now, most Sundays, you get my preach anointing. Today, you're also going to get my geek anointing. I'm so excited about Sundays like today. Here's why, real quick. Psalms 19, verse 1. Psalms 19, verse 1 says this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies, or the King James, the firmament, proclaim the work of his hands. Check this out. Day after day, okay, the firmament, the heavens, pour forth speech. The heavens are speaking, ladies and gentlemen. They're talking. Night after night, they reveal the knowledge of God. Verse 4, their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. What the psalmist is simply saying is this: right now, Miss Autumn, there is no language or nation or tribe or tongue where the heavens are not currently declaring the glory of God. Can I find a handful of believers just for 10 more seconds that will join with all of heaven? Lift your voice and declare the glory of your great God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So would you help me preach out before I geek out? Would you just look at your neighbor real quick and just look at your neighbor and just say, God must be working. I see the signs. I see the signs. My subject for today is just simply this. I see God is working because I see the signs. If you're ready for the Word of God, put your hands together. You may be seated today. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Y'all are awesome. All right. For those of you who are just getting to learn who I am, firstly, I'll tell you this. My first name is actually Jamin. Jamin. Just in case you've been mispronouncing it for years, okay? Jamin, Jamin, Jamie, Hamon. I don't know where that came from. Yeah. Jamin is my first name. But I've asked this question before, and you've had to be around me for a while to kind of know me. But for those of you who don't know me, any idea what I wanted to be growing up until I became a pastor? Anyone got any thoughts about what I wanted to be? That's someone who knows me. Wrestling, I want to be a wrestler. Basketball. Belly dancer, who keeps saying that? No, yeah. Astronomy was my passion. I don't even know why. I love looking at the heavens. I love staring into the night sky. When Pastor Olga met me, I was just one of them stargazers. I was like, hey, let's go for a walk under the stars, baby. Yeah. I just something about it has always drawn me and appealed to me. I think it's because of this. When I look here, all I see is problems and issues and pains and struggles. But when I begin to do this, I'm left in awe of how great my God is. Can I just encourage somebody today? Stop looking down and look up. Look up. Now, thank God that he called me into the ministry. And I want to be clear, not astrology, astronomy. I'll clarify biblically here in just a moment why, okay? But the Bible teaches us this. The sun, the moon, the stars, the heavenly bodies, if you will, what we call them, they're not just for tanning and moonlight walks. They are for signs. Look at how God spoke this in Genesis chapter 1. From the very beginning, God says this. He says, on the fourth day here, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. I'll explain firmament in just a moment. But let there be lights in the expanse, literally, of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs. Someone say signs. And for seasons. And for days. And for years. Okay. So when we look at this word firmament, we typically don't use this in modern English anymore. What is the firmament? The firmament is basically our field of vision when we look into the sky. Okay, when we look up into that big, beautiful thing called the heavens or the blue sky, we look at what we are seeing is the firmament, our perspective, the viewpoint, if you will, that God has given us. So what I mean by this, when we look in the firmaments, what do we see? We see that like the North Star or the Big Dipper, Orion, Constellation Orion. Am I looking at anybody that has any idea what I'm talking about? I'm the only one who wanted to be an astronomer in the place. Yeah. When I look up and I see these things, here's what I begin to realize. They are where they are and only visible how they are from our planet. Meaning, if I was in a different solar system, Orion wouldn't look the same. It wouldn't be Orion because God placed it there so that I could look up and see signs, if you will, in the moon, in the sun, in the stars. And I here's what I so neat about our God. When he arranged the firmaments, what he did is he took that big thing that keeps us warm called the sun. It's 400 times bigger than our moon. But here's what he did in our firmament. God made the moon 400 times closer than the sun. Okay, so the further away from each other. So what we have now is they look exactly the same size from our perspective. In our firmament, they literally look the same. I hope that makes sense what I'm saying. Even though obviously one is so much bigger, they look the same in our field of view. However, my point is just simply this. When we look at the firmament, when we look at the sky, it's not just there so that people like me can go, wow, that's awesome. My viewing pleasure. It's also there for prophetic insight. The Hebrew word used in Genesis chapter 1 for signs in its context literally means a miraculous sign. Signs literally are is translated as an omen, if you will, or a warning. And the Hebrew word for seasons in Genesis 1 translates as the appointed place or the appointed time. All right, can I get my preach on for just like 2 seconds real quick? Let me just do this just real quick. Somebody just, let's pause for the cause and let's just thank God right now that every miracle that we will need already has its appointed season and its appointed time. Every healing I'm ever gonna need already has an appointed season and an appointed. Every breakthrough and deliverance and blessing, everything that I need already has an appointed time. Can somebody just say, thank you, Lord. You've already got this thing planned out. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered the hearts of men. The things that God has prepared for those who love him, it's got an appointed time. And I digress. Back to geek mode. In case you have not heard, and if you have not heard, you must be living under a rock. Tomorrow is a total solar eclipse crossing our nation from Texas all the way up to Maine. I got one person that knows what's going on. Anyone else who's been inundated with everything about the eclipse? Anyone, just everywhere you turn and look, every news channel, every YouTube video, everything that your TikTok reels, everyone just pushing the, if you will, the fear, the biblical paranoia, the craziness of what is supposed to happen after tomorrow's solar eclipse. And I want to be clear. I'm not telling you that Jesus will come back when you're looking for him. I'm telling you he'll come back when you least expect it, like a thief in the night. So I can almost, I can 99.99999999 keep going to infinity, guarantee, because I'm not 100%, that Jesus ain't going to come back when you look in the sky for him. But he's still coming back. Woo. I gotta stop preaching. Come back. Be a geek. What is so cool about tomorrow's eclipse and a solar, especially a total solar eclipse, is that scientists have yet to discover another planet where a total solar eclipse has ever happened. In fact, the fact that we can even see a total solar eclipse in and of itself is a miracle. What scientists refer to this as is it's Earth's grand coincidence. I just call it another proof of God's grand design. Yeah. So if you're interested, do some Google searches at the end of church and you will find everybody under the sun talking about what's going to happen tomorrow under the sun. And I just want to say to you just simply today, to all the people that are pushing the fear of it all, just so I'm clear, I don't preach fear. I preach faith. But can I give you some facts? Let's just start with the facts before we get to the craziness about tomorrow, okay? Let's just start with that. Because some of you, you're just weird. Let's just be honest. You're just weird. Okay? You just know you are. Fine, cool, all right? But I don't want to be weird. I want to be truthful and honest. So here's the facts. I'll just give you some quick facts. 99% of the people who reside in the United States will be able to see either partial or the total eclipse from where they live. That includes Alaska and parts of Hawaii. We'll be able to see some form of this eclipse. So 99% of us. All 50 states are going to be able to experience at least a partial solar eclipse. Now, totality, that means when you see the sun completely blocked out by the moon, totality will be almost twice as wide and last almost twice as long as the Great American Eclipse that happened back in 2017. And I'll talk about that again in just a moment. Okay? So almost twice as big and almost twice as long in terms of totality. And there, I guess just for the fun of it, since we're talking about solar eclipses, real quick, 2 weeks ago, right on the, literally Palm Sunday, there was what's known as a penumbral lunar eclipse that happened 2 weeks ago. Okay, so a lunar eclipse where basically, the moon kind of gets in the Earth's shadow, and so the moon kind of starts to look dark, if you will. September of this year, North America will see us. We will see a partial lunar eclipse. And then March of next year, we will see a total lunar eclipse in the U.S., the blood moon. Dun,
dun, dun, dun.
Oh, I'm not done yet. I'm gonna mess with you a little bit today, okay? Just because I want to make sure you're putting your faith in this book right here. Putting your trust in the Almighty God. Right. Facts. Limited facts. All right. Facts. More facts. Here's where things kind of turn strange, but they're still facts. Tiana, give me that first image there. Tomorrow, NASA is going to launch 3 rockets at the eclipse known as the Apep. Who is Apep? Apep was the Egyptian serpent deity who embodied darkness and disorder. Literally, Apep was the opponent of the god of light, order, and truth. This is what NASA shooting up into the sky tomorrow. Woo. Strange but true. During totality tomorrow, there might be a comet that is visible even to the naked eye. And it has these little horns on it. And it's referred to as the devil comet. Give them that image. Right? The devil, right there, little horns on it. That'll be visible during totality tomorrow. This one got me. This one's crazy. The eclipse, let's give them the picture of the nation there, Tiana. The eclipse will start when it crosses Mexico into the U.S. It actually starts in Sinaloa, just in case you didn't know that. Okay. Oh, good Lord. Ooh. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, don't go watch Narcos or anything. But when it crosses into the U.S., it crosses over at this place called Eagle Pass. Eagle Pass, Texas. What's so important about Eagle Pass, Texas? Well, just literally in February, there was this major major news concerning a massive governmental dispute between the federal government and obviously the state government of Texas over this area and community in particular. And here's why. Okay. Eagle Pass is the place where some people claim the Civil War finally ended. What do I mean by that? It's literally called the Grave of the Confederacy because the last Confederate soldiers under Major General Joseph Shelby buried the last Confederate flag to fly over the Confederate Army right there at Eagle Pass. So the solar eclipse in our nation, totality, starts at a place where the Civil War supposedly ended. It gets better. Check this out. Tomorrow's eclipse will also pass over 7 different cities called Nineveh. Oh, if I had time to talk about Jonah and Nineveh and the fact that when Jonah came and just preached a simple message, 40 days, God's going to destroy Nineveh, and they all begin to repent. What caused him to repent? Many people believe it was a total solar eclipse that passed over the nation of Assyria, specifically over their capital city known as Nineveh. So when Jonah came and preached that, look, repent, or you're going to die. The sign was already in the sky. They believed, and immediately they repented. 7 different cities tomorrow have the name Nineveh that literally are, this eclipse will in some form or fashion pass over. 7 years ago, during the great American solar eclipse, there were 7 cities known as Salem. Salem. The Hebrew word Salem, Hebrew translates as peace or safety. Salem. So back in 2017, what happened is the solar eclipse that passed our nation covered the entire nation. It started in the northwest and finished in the southeast. It started at a place called Salem, Oregon, a place of peace. But it finished or completed in a city, this is crazy, where the Civil War began. Charleston, South Carolina. This is where the eclipse exited 7 years ago. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the first eclipse in 2017 ended where the Civil War began, and tomorrow's eclipse will begin where the Civil War ended. Coincidence. There is no such thing with God. Now, I know there are tensions brewing in our nation because I've been feeling it for years. The fact that we are so divided. And in fact, I will be very careful what I say next, but you are a fool if all you are is a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. You're a fool when you look at a brother or sister in Christ who doesn't vote the way you do, and you begin to condemn them and belittle them and look down. I'm just going to be pastoral for just a moment. I'm not worried about your politics. I'm worried about where you're going to spend eternity. And when you get caught up in politics more than you get caught up in the Word of God, you will allow that thing to become a sword that divides us. And right now, there are the embers burning of civil war in our nation again. Brother against brother. City against city. State against state. Republican against Democrat. And here it is. Just so we're clear, I am not saying that civil war is coming. I'm simply saying, if both these eclipses show us something about our civil war, then we need to decide as Americans once and for all. Let me say, as American Christians once and for all. Are we for slavery or are we against slavery? Because Jesus came to set the captives free. And I want to remind you, when he's coming back, he's not coming back for a church bound by sickness or bound by Satan or bound by wickedness. He is coming back for a church that is free and free indeed. Can I just find a handful of people that are grateful for the freedom Jesus Christ purchased on that cross? I'm about freedom. I'm about liberty. I'm about making sure no one is enslaved to sin by walking and freedom. The scriptures say it is for freedom that Christ set us free. And some of you, God help us, you're so bound up by your politics. I can see why 2024 troubles you. You're more worried about what's happening in the White House than in God's house. And I came to tell you, shaking always happens first in God's house. He's waking his family up. He's waking his church up. Okay, last bit of facts. Even more significantly about both of these eclipses, the one that happened in 2017 and the one that is happening tomorrow, is they both occur around sacred days on the Jewish calendar. Tom, you might remember me speaking about this back in August of 2017. Exactly 40 days after the first eclipse was Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement, September 30th, 2017. This got me. Actually, I went and did the math. I made sure I was right about this. Because 40 days after tomorrow's eclipse in America is May 19th, 2024. In Israel, it will be Pentecost Sunday. What am I trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen? All I want to do is declare what Peter said 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. Lord, I see trouble around us, but I realize in the last days, you are going to pour out your spirit on all flesh. I need somebody to prophesy to these last days and say, Lord, pour out your spirit. Let tomorrow be proof. You're not done with us yet. Pour out your spirit on America. Pour out revival on America. Pour out miracles, signs, and wonders on America. God, pour out your power on this nation once again. Somebody say yes. I didn't make this stuff up. I didn't write the book. 40 days in America, literally 41 days, that's before some, but 40 days after the eclipse tomorrow in Israel, they will be celebrating the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost. Whew. Man, the geek mode in me is just like. After tomorrow, the 2017 eclipse and the 2024 eclipse will end up crisscrossing right across the heart of our nation. Let's give them that image, Tiana. 2017. From Salem, Oregon, to Charleston, South Carolina. Tomorrow, from Texas all the way up through Maine, crisscrossing the heart of our nation, if you will. What's interesting to me, though, is that this nexus kind of falls in a spot that some of you might be aware of. It's called the New Madrid Fault Line. 1806, we had another total solar eclipse that crossed our nation from one end to the other. 5 years later, 1811, the New Madrid Fault Line. Let's give that image there, Tiana. 1811, New Madrid Fault Line. This is what is recorded in American history as the biggest earthquake we have ever experienced. It was felt all the way in the White House, was claimed. The shaking, and in fact, as I was reading historically, they were saying this was so crazy that the Mississippi River actually went in reverse, started flowing in reverse for a time. It was so wild that the aftermath, they felt over 2,000 different tremors and minor earthquakes in the aftermath of this. This pastor prophesying an earthquake is coming. But I know one is coming. Just read the book of Revelations. When that sixth seal is open and the whole planet begins to shake. Woo! Oh, Lord. Exciting times. What I simply want you to see is this. The nexus of both these total solar eclipses. Go back to that previous image real quick. Give me the zoomed in image if we can. The one where the crisscross of where everything is happening. A little further. Yep, perfect. That right there is Southern Illinois. Since the 1830s, this is crazy. Since the 1830s, this portion of Southern Illinois has always been known as Little Egypt. Little Egypt, because the Mississippi River was reminiscent of the structure and systems around the Nile River. Also, because many of the towns around there are named after cities from Egypt. Well, here's what's crazy. This was also a place where slavery was accepted and allowed, even though it was completely illegal in the state of Illinois, called Little Egypt. Tommy, I couldn't help but, in my geek mode, just begin to think to myself, 7 years apart, a seven-year cycle in Egypt. There was another biblical cycle I remember of 7 years in Egypt. In the book of Genesis, there's a man named Joseph who was imprisoned, but Pharaoh of Egypt had a dream, seven fat cows being eaten by seven skinny cows. And so Joseph shows up, he interprets the dream as 7 years of plenty and blessing, followed by 7 years of famine and destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the near seven-year mark of that last eclipse that happened. Am I prophesying famine and destruction after tomorrow? At least not for those who are connected to the Almighty God. Because it can be dark in Egypt, but we'll still have light where God's people are in Goshen. My Lord, I just want to be clear about all this, because you hear me talk about the signs in the sky. What I am not doing is putting my faith in astrology. Would you please stop telling people, what is your sign? Shut up! I'll tell you what my sign is. I've been signed, sealed, and delivered, and on my way to heaven. What is my sign? Listen to me. The only sign we're going to carry in these last days, if you're not a believer, is the mark of the beast. No. This is not about what is happening so much in the form of, I see what's going on, and now I'm putting my faith in it, and I'm putting my hope in it, and I'm worshiping it, and I'm checking my zodiac, and I'm trying to find out what is going to happen, the fault in my stars, what is going on. And I want to tell you what the Bible ultimately says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. God said, when you look up into the sky and you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the forces of heaven. So God is acknowledging there is power there, but here's what he's saying. Don't be seduced into
into worshiping them. The Lord your God gave them to all the people. I want to remind you, the reason we have these things is because we serve a God that knows how to get his own publicity. When you won't talk about him, he'll say, I'll let the heavens talk about me and who I am. But don't worship the heavens, worship the creator of the heavens. Joel 2:31 says, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Biblical scholars believe that anytime we see the sun is a sign of the Gentile nations because it's bigger. The moon is a sign of the nation of Israel because it's smaller. So whenever we see a lunar eclipse, the moon, we know that's judgment or a warning to Israel. Anytime we see a solar eclipse, like we will again tomorrow, it is a warning or judgment against the Gentile nations. Pastor Bethel, it is not coincidence that 7 years apart, we're having two total solar eclipses crossing our nation. It is a sign from God to wake up and get ready. Stop playing church. Stop playing with sin. Stop being selfish and foolish. It is time to recognize our redemption is drawing nigh. Somebody who's got enough faith in this book, just lift your hands with me right now. Father, I thank you in this moment. What you are doing is you are revealing to us we don't have to fear, but we do need to be prepared. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us. Somebody help me speak to this generation. Wake us up, Lord. Shake us, convict us, and help us see the signs of the times so we can live according to your word in Jesus' name. All right, let me finish here. As I talk about these things, maybe you're completely just like, whatever. Whatever happens, what happens. And maybe you're just like, oh, Lord, I need to get ready. I need to stop acting like that foolish virgin who didn't have enough oil, and I need to make sure I'm prepared for the return of the groom, of Christ. But when I look at these things and I read these things, and if you're not careful, you'll go down anyone ever done this before, you start going down a rabbit trail of one video after another and one blog after another. The next thing you know, you are so freaked out. Like, you don't even want to move. It's like, somebody come and tuck me in, please. Just terrified. I've done those things. What I'm asking this today, if we know all this impending doom and destruction is coming, then how can we be safe? How can I be sure I will be? How can I be sure my family will be safe? I want to show you something really cool, and I'll finish here. Somebody decided... You know what? Let's give them that nexus point again there, Tiana, where the places cross there. Someone decided, okay, that's right around Carbondale, Illinois. Let's start to zoom in and zoom in and keep zooming in. And they kept zooming in as far as Google Maps would let them. And this was so cool to me. When they zoomed in as far as they could, they came to an area called Cedar Lake. And at the very center of both these eclipses where they cross, the very center is a street, give it to him, Tiana, by the name of Salem. Stop it. Stop it. You mean at the very center of these two eclipses crossing my nation, a sign of warning and judgment to come, there's a little road called peace. Called safety, called completeness, called protection. The Hebrew word Salem, peace, Jerusalem, the city of peace. I came to tell you here today, I want to offer you a little road called peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one who can get you to the Father, and he will seal it. Your salvation can be protected forever because of our peace. He is our peace. Come on, if you are thankful for the finished work of Jesus Christ and you recognize I don't have to be afraid, I can live in peace because I've got a little road called Salem right in the middle of all the pain, right in the middle of all the chaos, right in the middle of all the fear, I've got this thing called peace. I'm protected by His peace. If I could do anything right now, I would just want you to simply know this, that we live in a world full of wickedness and sinfulness, and God is sending us a sign that we need to wake up and turn to Him. Here's why. Because God so loved the world, He didn't want anybody to perish. It is not His will that any of us perish, but that all of us come to repentance. So I came to tell you, I have a safety net. I have a protector. I have a redeemer. In fact, the Hebrew word for safety or salvation actually is the name meaning Yeshua. Yeshua is what we translate as Jesus in English. So I came to tell you my peace and my safety and my protection and my hope for tomorrow is not what's happening in the sky. It's what I already know in my heart and in my spirit. Jesus has me protected. If you recognize that He is your Prince of Peace, come on and put your hands together in the midst of your fear. Put your hands together and raise your voice. Even though you're worried, I know who holds tomorrow. He's got me. I'm in His hands. I've got peace. If you'll stand your feet with me right now. I thought for a moment, let me just go to John 3:16. We all know John 3:16, at least we've heard it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But the Lord took me to another 3:16. Joel 3:16. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake. This is why you need to know who your Shalom is, who your Salem is. But the Lord will be a refuge for His people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel. I don't have to live in Israel to be a part of God's people. Because of faith in Jesus Christ, I've been adopted into the family of God. I get to partake in this promise right here. I have peace about tomorrow. In fact, if I'm able to, I'm going to try to drive into totality. I'm trying to do everything I can to get into a place where I can see totality with all the millions of other people that are going. And if you know me, I hate traffic, so I'm trying to figure out the best time to go. But I'm going to sit in totality. And while everyone else is freaking out or wow, this is so amazing, I'm just going to lift my hands and just praise my God, knowing my time here is almost over because soon and very soon my King is coming. But I've got nothing to worry about before then, because King Jesus promises me He will be my refuge, my fortress. I know who I'm turning to. So I want to tell you this and I'm done. This is so fascinating to me. At totality, meaning when the sun is completely blotted out, what is happening is you are literally standing in the shadow of the moon. Totality. I'm hoping to be standing in the literal shadow of the moon tomorrow. You know what I couldn't help but think of, Miss Autumn? 2,000 years ago, from the darkness of the cross, the Bible says the whole planet went dark for 3 hours. And hanging on a tree in the darkness, Jesus shouted this, "It is finished." That means in totality, it is complete. It is done. I can't speak for you today, but today I stand in the totality of the shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus completely eclipsed the fall of Adam, where Jesus completely blotted out and covered every one of my sins and my mistakes and my shame, where Jesus Himself completely destroyed the darkness of death. This is why He said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Now let's be honest. After all this, if this intrigued you, interested you, worried you in any way, if you just feel something in your spirit like, I need to be ready, just lift your hands. I need to be ready. Whatever tomorrow holds, I just need to be ready. I don't know. I feel it. I feel God telling me, get ready. I can sense it. Come on, lift your hands. I can sense it. I can sense God telling me, get ready. Get ready. Lift your hands high. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Time to get ready. Get ready. If Bishop Jakes were here, he'd say like 1,000 times, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Father, right now in this moment, I want to pray against that spirit of fear that is going to try to overtake some of us. Ladies and gentlemen, these are just facts. The truth of the matter is what God says. Because God can change any fact anytime he wants to. But his truth will remain forever and ever. And the truth is, we will have tribulation in this world. But I can take heart because Jesus has overcome this world. I'm going to have pains and problems. I know that. And fear will always be knocking at my heart's door. But I came to let fear know there's no place in here. I let Jesus in a long time ago. He's taken up residency, and all I have is his peace. But for those of you that just feel worried, scared, and troubled, it's time to set an eviction notice on the door of your heart saying, fear, you got to go. Prince of Peace, come on in. Come on in and rule in my heart today. For those of us who, Pastor, I need to be ready. Just let me pray for you right now with our hands raised. Heavenly Father, I pray in these moments we'll begin to wake up. You're shaking not just the earth. You're shaking your church. Where we have become complacent, shake us. We have become lukewarm and apathetic. Wake us up. We have become religious. We no longer have that freedom. God, break that off of our lives today. In any area where we are sensing fear, we rebuke fear and we command this spirit to go. And what we pray today is, Lord, give us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind. Today, God, let us operate in your spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, outside of Jesus, there's nothing but fear. But inside of Jesus, there's nothing but safety and protection and completeness and hope and peace. Stay in Christ. Stay in Christ. I didn't just say stay in church. I said stay in Christ. Tomorrow, when you're watching the eclipse, stay in Christ. Tomorrow, after the eclipse ends and your world goes on, because it will, stay in Christ. When temptation comes this week, stay in Christ. When fear tries to overwhelm you, stay in Christ. When depression and anxiety and the problems of this life begin to feel overwhelming, stay in Christ, because he is your safety. He is your salvation. And you will have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I thank you, Lord, that it's being broken today in Jesus' name. All over this room, let's just make sure we're right with God. I'm going to say a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. And all you have to do is just believe in your heart what you're saying. And the Bible says you will be saved. Pray with me now. Heavenly Father, I come to you, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me for all my past failures. Forgive me for where I was, what I said, what I did. I ask you now to cleanse me and transform me and make me new. Today, I put my faith in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for all of my sins, so that I can live with you in heaven forever. I repent, I turn away, and I turn to you. You are my safety. You are my protection.
You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's rejoice. I said, let's rejoice today. Let's rejoice today. Let's rejoice today.
I'm just curious. Did anybody pray that prayer for like the first time? Anybody? I prayed that for the first time. Raise your hand real quick. We're not trying to shame you. I prayed that prayer for the first time. Come on, if you see some people around this room with their hands raised, come on, let's thank God that they surrendered their heart to Christ today. Amen. Amen. I close with this. As Christians, our perspective tomorrow is not one of fear. It has to be one of great celebration. Pastor Bethel, when I was going back over the scriptures, I couldn't help but think about the fact that the eclipse, really, it's about the darkness. But the whole reason we celebrate is because the darkness won't last.
Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But you who not fear the eclipse or fear tomorrow, you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy. Ooh, just like a little calf being led out to pasture. That's the old covenant. Let me give you the new one real quick. Revelation 22, verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign there with him forever and ever. I just want to remind you, the message of every eclipse that has ever happened is just simply this: the darkness will not last. The darkness cannot last, because nothing can extinguish the light of our God. Can you put your hands together and give God praise today? Amen and amen.
Before we get ready to go and have lunch together, and I hope you will stay for a few moments and just let us be a blessing to you. The disciples were scared. So I understand. And when they questioned Jesus, Lord, what's going to be the signs? How will we know when you're coming back? What are those signs? Tana, give it to him again, the very beginning of what I preached, Luke chapter 21. And so Jesus gives them the signs. But I don't want you to get caught up in the signs. We know what they're there for. I can see the signs. What I want you to get caught up in is verse 28. And this is what I want you to meditate on. Because what Jesus always wants us to do is, when things look scary, when things look perplexing, when things look like they're crazy, don't look down at those things. Look up. Look up. We preached this a few weeks ago. Look up and live. Look up. Look up. Can I prophesy over you right now as we leave this service? I prophesy that you will no longer be downcast. I prophesy that you will no longer hang your head like a victim. I prophesy that today you will not be afraid or tormented or discouraged or depressed. I declare today that what you will do is shift your focus. You will stop looking down and you will look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Somebody hear me in your spirit today. I believe God is shifting your outlook. You're going to be looking up. Somebody in this place today, help me declare, my outlook is up. My faith is looking up. My hope is looking up. My joy is looking up. I believe I have got a hope for tomorrow. So instead of hanging my head in shame, I'm going to throw up my hands in praise and declare, I've got nothing to fear. My eyes are on the one who's coming to get me again. I don't worry. I don't fear. I don't fret. I look up and trust my salvation is drawing near. With every hand raised right now, Father, I praise you, and I pray that this word will go deep in our hearts. Now, as we prepare to eat together, let this right here just be preparation for the great feast in heaven I'm going to be a part of forever. I pray that you will bless our food, but Lord, bless our fellowship.
God, use somebody in this room today to be an encouragement to somebody who's scared. Use somebody in this room today to be a friend and a source that will connect with their faith and ultimately bring people closer to you. We're not supposed to do this thing alone. So don't go out and spend money on your lunch. Stay here because we've already spent money on you. Let us be a blessing to you. Let us get to know you. Let us fellowship with you. Let us encourage you. Let us pray with you. Let us believe with you. And ladies and gentlemen, when April 9th comes, just think back to this moment when I told you so. That Jesus is coming quickly. He is. But don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough cares of its own. Just keep your focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher, totality of my faith. Come on and praise King Jesus today. Come on and praise King Jesus today. Amen. Amen.